What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Munchables podcast. We're not going to spend a bunch of time talking about Lunchables, if you're wondering. Yes, the name similarity has a purpose. But if you want more on that, you can go watch the last week's episode, 2 weeks ago, whatever that was. You can go watch that one and tell us your favorite Lunchable. Although I've been incredibly upset because all of the ones that I looked up and found and discovered, I don't find them in stores. So it's almost like they have this arsenal of stuff available, but they put the same ones in the stores all the time. But that's, you know, that's my own frustration. Manny, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Manny, wearing his sparkly Jesus is the light. I feel like we should get matching hoodies like that and go to the clubs, the Christian clubs.
Christian, yeah.
Yeah, wherever those are. Go Christian clubbing.
Yeah, I heard there was one in L.A. somewhere.
I don't know if I want to go to L.A. right now. I just heard some crazy news yesterday about some foiled plots in L.A. Did you hear about that?
No, foiled plots?
Yeah, apparently the FBI foiled a like major New Year's Eve terror attack or whatever in L.A.
What the heck?
Good job, boys in blue or suits or whatever the FBI wears. Whatever, you don't call them boys in blue. I don't know what you call FBI. Good job.
Boys in black.
Men in black.
Men in black.
Yeah, good job, guys. No, seriously, that's awesome. But today we're talking about Christmas Exposed. We're going to expose Christmas a little bit. You might not know what that is, but we're going to get into it. And then we're also going to talk about, last time we talked about what Advent is. This time we're going to be talking about really like how should Christmas and Advent point us to patience. And so that's what we're going to do, because ultimately we're all waiting for something, especially around Christmas time. You're waiting for whatever's under the tree, right? You've been staring at it for a while. Unless, Manny, are you like, trees don't appear in the house, or like presents don't appear under the tree until Christmas Day, or they sit there all year? Like, what's the tree to present situation in the Manny household?
We don't even have a tree up yet.
What? Brother, Christmas is in 9 days.
It's something happened.
Something happened.
Our mom left and we lost motivation to set up that house.
So it's mom's job. Okay. Well, normally then, when do the presents appear under the tree?
They usually don't show up at all until like Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Just for, like, isn't that standard? Christmas Eve. Presents show up and then Christmas Day you open them.
I mean, if you believe in Santa, if you do, if that's you, technically Christmas presents don't appear until Christmas Day, right? Because then Santa's flying around at midnight or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The technical response, yeah.
Wherever you align theologically with Santa Claus. Okay, so Christmas Eve is when they appear. I was born and raised in a household where they appeared all throughout the year, and yet they would still say from Santa, and that really confused me as a child. But it is what it is. My parents just bought stuff all throughout the year, and like it'd be October, and there would be a present for me sitting in the hallway just waiting for Christmas. That's my childhood. It's like, is there anything you're waiting for? Like, are you hoping for anything this Christmas?
Not in particular. Clothes are always nice. Laundry detergent.
Clothes and laundry detergent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what I have to look forward to now.
No. I'm an adult, and I don't look forward to laundry detergent. If I got laundry detergent for Christmas, I'd be...
Yeah, that stuff's expensive. It'd be great.
Well, it
somebody.
Is. You're right. I will get you laundry detergent. We're going to start a GoFundMe for Manny's laundry detergent. Link in the bio or whatever down there.
Down in the comments.
Just kidding. Laundry detergent. There's two different questions. There's what are you hoping for at Christmas, or what are you expecting? So like maybe you're we asked a question about this on social media today. Like, what do you kind of hope is not under the tree, whether it's like socks or handmade gifts? Like there's always something that you're like, you know, those boxes that you know for a fact clothes are in them.
Oh yeah.
But for some reason, like they're held together with tape, but for the life of you, you cannot get the tape off.
Get the tape off.
Like the only option is to completely destroy those boxes. And then I've never understood this either. There's clothes inside and yet people still put tissue paper in them on top of the clothes. But yeah, so anyways, what are you hoping, like not expecting laundry detergent, but what are you hoping for this Christmas? Like if it was like, oh man, be pretty rad.
I've been wanting a 3DS for like a really long time. Like when they first came out, they were just super expensive, but there's like 10 different Pokemon games that I haven't played, and they're on the 3DS.
Okay, have you heard of a 2DS?
Yeah.
It's the 3DS, but without like making you want to vomit everywhere. Are you wanting the actual 3D feature, or are you just wanting to be able to play the games?
I want like the 3D feature. I feel like it makes the games look cooler.
You do realize that they've had like the Nintendo Switch and Switch 2 now. You're still hung up there.
Okay.
Because I haven't played this yet. Those are.
Still holding out. Hey, I still got like a. I've got Game Boy Advance games that I can still play and all that stuff, man. I'll let you borrow my. It's not 3D, it's 2D. I have a 2DS I can let
That
you
works.
borrow. I know it's like a want want, but you can at least play the games, you know? Well, throw it in the comments. What are you hoping for and expecting? So, what are you expecting, whether you're excited about it or not? And then, what are you hoping for? Throw that in the comments and let us know. But what this morning, it's not morning.
This afternoon.
This afternoon, whenever this is, whenever it could be 3 years from when we're recording this that you're watching this episode. You could, I could be, it could be 100 years ago. This
We could be.
somehow this is discovered. So, whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are. Throw it in the comments and let us know. But we are talking about Christmas traditions. I've got a list of some. Okay. So I'm going to ask you if you have, do you have any Christmas traditions? That you, first off, the ones that you like. What are some Christmas traditions that you like?
I think I told you about it last week. The one where we would go to convalescent homes
Okay.
on Christmas Day, and we would give out gifts to pretty much everybody in all the rooms, all the older people. Because they're, you know, they're not getting much attention on Christmas. Usually their own families are gone and older, doing their own thing. And I think it was something my mom started. And so we would go, we would wrap up tissue boxes and little things, hand sanitizing wipes, just stuff that they could use. And we would hand those out, and it would really make their day. And so that was something I missed doing. We haven't done that in a long time.
Well, you could do it this year, man.
That would be
You
super
got
cool.
you got 9 days.
Yeah.
You put it together. You got it. All right. With your laundry
Well,
detergent.
we can't even do that because we would get all the tissue boxes from
the 99-cent store, and they don't exist anymore.
Well, they do, but it's like $1.25 now. Yeah. Are there any traditions that you don't like? I mean, I've got a lot. Like I grew up I've got a Hungarian background, and so like we grew up making you look confused.
Thought you were joking.
No, I'm not joking. I grew up making like they're called Keefley, which Caitlin loves these when she discovered them, but they're like little cookies. And so I grew up, you know, my dad would make the dough and everything. We'd like sit there and make just a ton of these cookies, and that's what we give people. They're super. I'll let you try one
Please.
If we make them. They're called Keefley. Very good.
Keefley.
But then we'd also do rolled cabbage, which I know sounds weird, but Hungarian food and there's a lot of cabbage
Some cabbage
in
already
Hungarian
rolled.
food. Yeah, I think it was like my great great grandma came to the United States through Ellis Island from Hungary. So, anyways, rolled cabbage. We'd have like the steamed cabbage leaves with the meat mixture, and you roll them up and put them in a pan. Super
Oh,
good. Yeah. So like I
that's
remember
a
making that. Like those are good memories, you know, making all the food, but. I gotta tell you, man, like, if there is a Christmas tradition I'm not a fan of, Caitlin, if you're listening, you know this is true. But I do it because I love you and you're the helpmate that God gave me. However, the Christmas tradition that I have such a hard time bearing every year is pictures. Like family Christmas pictures. I know they're great and like you want them to look back on memories and it's all. Awesome and things like that, but oh, the process just stresses everybody out. It stresses me out.
Why
My
aren't you
face hurts.
smiling?
Do you guys do family pictures every year?
Not every year. We've done
them a couple of years.
Okay.
But I think the last we did was probably before COVID.
That's a while ago. Yeah. That's a while ago. I can't. I know they're great and they're good for memories and things like that, but man, the process is just rough. It's just tough for me. But here's some fun ones before we get into like our main meat. Here's some fun Christmas traditions around the world. You ready? Because not everybody does Santa Claus. and all that stuff. So if you're watching and you're a Santa Claus person, just plug your ears or
don't listen.
Get some culture. We're going to give you some culture. Are you ready? This isn't all of them. These are just the ones that I thought were really hilarious. In Chechia.
Chechia.
C-Z-E-C-H-I-A, which Manny apparently knows how to spell that. Because I thought that was a hard word to spell. And I was like, Manny, how do you spell this word? And he was like, C-Z. I'm like, whatever, dude. But anyway, in said Chechia, single women predict their marital status for the coming year by throwing a shoe over their shoulder on Christmas Eve. If the toe of the shoe lands pointing toward the door, it's said that she will marry in the next year. If the heel points toward the door, she'll stay single until Christmas Eve. So if you feel lonely this Christmas and you want to embrace a new tradition, grab that shoe, chuck it. If it's, I think it has to be your door, so don't just throw it over your shoulder at some door. I think it has to be your door. So there you go, Manny. If you're just hoping for the love in 2026, just, well, I guess it has to be single women. So, yep.
That excludes
that doesn't
me,
help you at all. It's okay. In Austria, I've known of this one. It's actually been turned into tons of horror films. Krampus, who's like a horned demon looking dude. Merry Christmas. He's like the anti-Santa. Punishes those on the naughty list with chains, bells, and a sack of drag from... Hold on. Chains, bells, and a sack to drag them away. So Santa's big bag has presents. Krampus, his bag has naughty people in it that he just drags away with chains and bells. Merry Christmas. That sounds so German. Like that. Yeah, that's very. Anyways, are you afraid of Krampus? Do you have, you know?
I saw the movie. It wasn't.
I saw the documentary on it. I have not. I've seen the cover. That's enough for me. In Iceland, I love this one. There's a cat. He's called the Yule Cat. And he prowls the snow and eats alive anyone who's not got the appropriate clothing to handle the harsh winter weather. Yep. So to help each other, they make sure that everybody's bundled up appropriately. So that you're not consumed by the Yule Cat. Starting to make that holly jolly man with the red coat look a lot better. Yeah. Let's see. In 1974, December 1974, this is the one I was telling you about, okay? Mm-hmm. KFC Japan created its Kentucky for Christmas ad campaign in Japan. Now, I don't. When you think of Japanese food, I'm sure you don't think of KFC. Yeah. But they did this ad campaign in 1974. It's 81 years ago, almost 82 years ago. And it was promoting fried chicken as a perfect Christmas meal for your family. To this day, eating KFC as a Christmas meal is still a huge holiday tradition in Japan. And you can look up pictures of this. There are lines like down the street of people waiting in Japan
to get fried chicken.
To get their fried chicken.
What the heck?
Like Colonel Sanders, you've made it, you know?
He made his chicken national.
in Japan with a side of rice. In Italy, a couple more. This one's great. Italy, the Befana, which is a witch-like old woman, delivers gifts to children throughout Italy on Epiphany Eve, which is the night of January 5th. And it, you know the Santa Claus movies?
Yeah.
With Tim Allen?
Santa Claus, yeah.
Have you seen the show?
There's a show.
Yes, it's called The Santa Clauses. On some, I won't say what channel because I don't know if we'll get in trouble. Schmizly Plus.
Schmizny
Plus. But La Befana is in that show. She's like one of the people that's there. So, anyway, it's La Befana. Last one. This is the funniest one. You can look this up. It'll bless your heart. La Befana, why is my phone buzzing? This is weird. Okay, I'm just going to let it buzz. Can you hear that through the mic? No? Okay, there it goes. It's all gone. Mary Lude? Marilwyd. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's an old Welsh, or Wales, right? New Wales. It's an old Welsh winter tradition where people parade a horse's skull on a pole, covered in sheets and decorated with ribbons and bells around Christmas and New Year. They knock on people's doors and they greet people with singing, and they challenge the household to a fun rhyming battle called Pwnco, P-W-N-C-O. And if the Mari, which is the weird dead horse thing, wins, she's allowed inside to bring luck, laughter, and a bit of chaos. So they basically go around with a horse's skull and hide under a sheet holding the horse's skull, and they knock on the door, and they have a rap battle. And if the horse's skull wins the rap battle, they get to come in and bless the household.
What the heck?
Look at, this is real. They still do it. Look it up. M-A-R-I-L-W-D. So anyways, there's some fun. Which of those do you wish we had here? We already have KFC, so don't say that one.
Oh, that's true. I don't know, maybe the shoe tossing one.
The shoe tossing? That'd be so funny. That would be a TikTok craze.
Oh yeah.
That'd be all over TikTok. Everybody's like, whatever. And then if they actually did get married, it would be like, you know, they would throw the shoe, and then when the shoe hit the ground, like the husband would pop up there. Huh. Hey, see, I can make trendy reels. Mm-hmm. But throw your shoe, and if you get married next year, take another video of him landing where the shoe is. Boom. Ooh. You'll be just like Chechen women.
Chechen.
There you go. Anyways, so Christmas fun. Christmas is next week. It's crazy. It's already here. We're almost in 2026. Manny? Almost in 2026.
That's insane.
Yep.
Went yep. So fast.
The 90s seem so much further away now, which makes my heart just a little bit sad. However, we're not we're almost there. And I remember not as much as a kid, as an adult, but as a kid, I remember like Christmas seemed like it would never get here. You know?
Yeah. And now
it
just,
but like as an adult now, it's just like, oh dang, that's next week. But like when you're a kid, you're just like,
it can't come soon enough.
Yeah. You're waiting for all the movies and music and stores. The stores make you wait starting in like September because they start decorating, and you're so excited, and you see the presents under the tree, and we are patiently waiting for Christmas. We just talked about this on Sunday with the guys. I was talking about when you're waiting for Christmas. And so like for us, what are you waiting for? What gift are you hoping to wait? And we think about that. But really, when we talk about Advent, so remember last week we were talking about what Advent is, right? It's where we look at the first coming of Jesus, so that way we can look with hope and joy and excitement for the second coming of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But what it should also teach us when we look back, another lesson we need to learn as we look back at Jesus's first Advent, it should teach us patience. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily for some sort of gift or blessing in this year. But think about this, Genesis chapter 3, right? And I asked the students, where does the Christmas story start? And one of them said, Jesus is born. And I'm like, no, there's more to that. Okay. And then they backed it up even further. And they said, Mary, when Mary is told that she's going to have the baby. And now, further back. Yeah, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where God tells the serpent after the first sin that the woman's offspring will crush his head, and you will bruise his heel. That's talking about Jesus. So if you think about when Adam and Eve was, and compare that to when Jesus came, that's thousands of years.
Thousands.
6, 7, 8, 10,000 years. Long, long, long time. And here's the thing. This coming Messiah, I think sometimes we view the Christmas story as if like the whole Old Testament was heading in this direction, and then all of a sudden Matthew comes, and it's like, skirt, and it like totally threw things off.
Nope.
But there's a reason why people were excited about the coming Messiah, because yes, Genesis 3 talks about that. And then all throughout the Old Testament, there's over 600 prophecies about Jesus, right? Including his birth. Like, they knew there's a prophecy that he'd be in Bethlehem. There's a prophecy that he'd be born of a virgin, that his name would be called Emmanuel. All of that's from the Old Testament. So if you think about patience, the people of Israel were waiting thousands of years for Jesus, right? That's some patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So finally Jesus comes, and who gets to see him first? The shepherds. And it's so many people throughout that thousands of years, when you think about how many nations destroyed them, and they're waiting for the Messiah. If you look at the oppression of the Philistines and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians and then Rome, when was this Messiah going to come? And so many people gave up, right? And I asked the students, when you're waiting for something, how quickly do you give up? Like, what's your patience threshold? So, Manny, I'm going to ask you, when you're at a restaurant, how long are you willing to wait for your food before you ask for, like, can you go check on our food? Like, how long, like, what's the threshold for you?
I think the longest I've ever waited for food. BJ's. And you're waiting for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that's when I'll say something. Like, okay. I'm pretty patient, but then it's like when I see the people that show up after us get their food, and I'm like, where's our stuff?
Yeah, okay.
That's one of them.
So 30 minutes. That's pretty standard. That's what they said. What if you're in a drive-thru?
Drive-thru, I have zero patience. I feel like it should be so fast.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. There's so many things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're asking me to wait thousands of years, or like you're not even going to tell me when, like, man, like our patience would not last. So here's my first question. Like, if you think about things that you're waiting a long time for, and I'm not talking about like waiting for your food. I'm talking about maybe you're waiting for a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're waiting for whatever, right? These things that we know we have to wait for a long time that we're praying for, right? Israel was praying for the coming Messiah, and they were waiting and waiting. So many people over thousands of years didn't get to see that day, right? Mm-hmm. What makes waiting so frustrating for us? Like, when we're waiting on God to do something, why is that so frustrating, and why does it cause so much anxiety and impatience?
It's the anticipation. Like, we're not sure what the answer is going to be, so it's the eagerness to hear his answer that I think gets us. Because it's like, we either want it like as soon as possible, or we're scared of what he might say, and like what doors he might open or close, and whatever that looks like. And so we grow impatient because it's like you might be a little intimidated by what might happen, but you're also kind of eager and curious to see what he has.
I think that eagerness and curiosity, I think you're right. But honestly, I think the anxiety and impatience ultimately comes from the fact that that also means we don't get control, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're waiting on God for his promises, or for him to respond to our prayers, or whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, heal my grandma or whatever it may be, when we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, the reason why that creates anxiety is because that means we have to surrender control. Like, if you're going to trust God for his timing, you're going to have to surrender control. And man, we struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's when we start to complain or ask the waitress, like, can you go check on my food? Like, again, we feel like we have to step in when it's taking too long. So here's the other one. What do we normally do then? So when we're impatient and we decide to step in, what do we typically turn to avoid that discomfort when we're waiting? Like, when we're waiting for a long time, what do people typically turn to? Or what do you turn to?
Like, in what case?
If you're waiting on a relationship, or you're waiting on, I mean, like right now you're waiting on career answers, right? Or you're waiting on like whatever you're praying for, you're waiting on somebody to be healed, like whatever it may be. I think especially for some people that are waiting on a relationship and that kind of stuff, what do people typically turn to? Or like, what happens when they get impatient?
They try and speed up the process. So like, relationship wise, they might just try talking to a bunch of different people to get something going, because they want that relationship feeling. Career wise, you know, they might really want one job, but they're just so confused about not having one that they're just applying to all different kinds of places and trying, you know, all different types of methods of getting a job. And so they're trying to fill that void by trying to speed up the process and doing it on their own.
Yeah. Rushing into it, right? Mm-hmm. We rush into things, or we settle. Right, like, it's like the question, if I told you that you could have $1 million in 10 years or $100,000 right now, which one would you take? Most people would take $100,000, right? Just because, again, like, we want to rush in
right now.
Or maybe you, like, you just turn to distractions, right? So if you're tired of waiting for a relationship, you distract yourself with things that you know are not good for you, or you try and numb it. This is another thing, whether it's by just turning to addictions or whatever it may be, you try and numb that impatience or that process or whatever. But in reality, when we try and take control, that actually makes it worse, because then the problem is we create a problem through our own impatience, and that makes what we're waiting for take even longer, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if you think about, okay, I'm waiting for a career and I don't want to wait for this job, so I'm just going to settle and take this one, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then you have, now you have created a problem, because now even if that job came available, you can't have it, right? Because you're in another job, right? Or if you want to be in a relationship and it's a, you want that good relationship, but you settle for this one over here, and this person comes available, or God brings this person into your life, now you've created a problem, right? So a lot of times our impatience actually makes it worse.
More chaos.
Like, in our attempt to make it better. I mean, think about probably how many people tried to step in and be the Messiah. Like, I'm tired of waiting for this Messiah, so I'm going to step in and I'm going to be the person to take out Babylon or Assyria, or like that temptation there. Like, fine, I'm tired of waiting on God, so I guess I'm going to have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Or you settle for weird medical treatments. If you're waiting on God to heal someone and he's not, well, then you're all of a sudden you turn to whatever, right? I'm reading 1 Samuel right now, and instead of turning to God, Saul turned to all kinds of mediums and demonic stuff or whatever to try and solve the problem instead of seeking God, right? So we make the problem worse mm-hmm. in our impatience, thinking that we're making it faster, right? And we're actually mm-hmm. making it slower, right? So during Advent, when we think about God's people had been waiting thousands of years for Jesus. And you have to remember that, because then again, what's Advent for? We're looking back at the first Advent so that way we can know how to look forward to the second Advent. So here's the thing. If people had been waiting for thousands of years before for Jesus' first Advent, we've been waiting thousands of years
after. Mm-hmm.
And it's not even close to how long they waited the first time,
mm-hmm.
right? So when we think about that perspective of waiting on the Lord and waiting for God to come back, which, by the way, Jesus coming back is the only real solution to problems, right? Mm-hmm. Like sickness, death. Read Revelation 21 about the new Jerusalem. No sorrow, no tears. Mm-hmm. Jesus coming back is the solution. That's what you should want for Christmas. And we patiently await it. What does that take? Man, read everything before Matthew and learn lessons about how not to be patient for the Messiah and how to be patient for the Messiah. Because all of these people for thousands of years, you can learn good lessons on waiting on the Lord and bad lessons of waiting on the Lord. And then we can apply it for us as we wait patiently for the coming of the Lord, right? We wait for that day that Jesus comes back, knowing that it's not my job or my friends or my relationship or whatever you're waiting on. That's not the solution. The solution is Jesus coming, right? So what might it look like to trust God in the waiting instead of just praying for it to end? Because here's the other thing. A lot of times when we're in a bad situation, I think of COVID. Mm-hmm. How many of us prayed for that to end? Which, sure, we should pray for healing. But instead, how many people actually during that period of time prayed for God to show us how he wants to use us in that? Instead of just like, God, make this end and God, make this end and staying inside or whatever. We didn't even ask the question of, hey, God, what do you want for the church? Like, what do you want the church to do in this time period, right? Mm-hmm. So what might it look like in your life? And again, you can comment with this or whatever, but what might it look like in this Advent season for you to actually learn how to actually be patient and not wait for the wrong things that you're going to eventually rush into? Because ultimately, what's the most important solution? It's Jesus coming back. And what's your most important goal? Glorifying God. Right. And if it doesn't fall into those categories, it's not worth the anxiety, the stress, because here's the bigger picture. Wherever you're at this holiday season, if you're waiting for a relationship or you're waiting for a job or you're waiting for an answer or you're waiting for healing, remember the bigger picture. And that bigger picture puts those things in perspective. that yes, I'm waiting on a relationship, but ultimately I'm waiting on Jesus to come back. And ultimately, I want to glorify God, and I'm going to wait for the relationship that's going to help me glorify God. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wait for the relationship that's going to help me pursue Jesus's coming and pursue Jesus, right? If I'm going to be healed, I want it to ultimately be to glorify God in my body. That if God is going to heal me, I'm going to use that as an opportunity to glorify him. But when I feel sick, it also points me to a reality that I'm truly waiting for, not a medical solution here, but a future in heaven that doesn't have sickness. If I'm waiting for a job, I'm going to wait patiently because I want the job that God wants for me, that's going to glorify him most, and ultimately understanding that it's just a temporary stop to give me something to do while I wait for his coming and for his kingdom. So when we think about Advent, it's not just to look at love and joy and all of that. It's also to learn a lesson in patience, right? That the holidays, again, we talked about this last time, but the holidays are not the patient time. It is the time of anxiety and stress and whatever. But it's also a time that people have a hard time with, that people struggle with loneliness and sadness and all of this kind of stuff. And ultimately, it should teach us a lesson in what real patience looks like. Are you willing, if it's best, are you willing to wait thousands of years for what is best? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to rush it because of your own anxiety and your desire to control?
Settle for something less.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So that's our Munchable for this week. Hope you guys have a good Christmas. We'll put out a Christmas message for next week, but we won't have a podcast because you guys are going to be playing with your toys and your stuff and your laundry detergent and all the great things that you got for Christmas. So we hope you have a Merry Christmas. Manny, thank you so much for setting all this up.
Thank you, Timmy.
Friend. Mm-hmm. And good job on your sweater. Can they see that in the camera? Go like this. Sparkle. Look at that. So sparkly. Anyways, this is the Munchables Podcast, the NG podcast, where we talk to the next generation about being the next generation. I'm your host, Pastor Tim. That's Manny on the Manny Cam. We love you guys. Merry Christmas. We'll see you guys next time.